That's it. It's over. Game over.
Game over, man.
It's over.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Give me the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Charlie Remeliotis.
Welcome into the Blackhawks postgame show. Charlie Remeliotis here. Blackhawks fall to the New York Islanders 5-4 in the third period. Islanders scored three goals in a span of 2 minutes and 17 seconds in the third period. Blackhawks find a way to push back, make it a hockey game, but the comeback falls just short. You can call or text 312-981-7200 to chime in on the post-game show. Let's go back to UBS Arena and bring in Troy Murray for a game recap. Troy, you were asking for the scoring chances and all that stuff. Scoring chances for the Blackhawks in this game, 31-16, and somehow they find a way to lose this hockey game. It didn't feel like the score lined up with what we saw, but it was the third period breakdowns, that little 2.5 minute stretch that faulted the Blackhawks.
I think you look at the one goal coming down the right wing side where he kind of lost his net, just didn't have his positioning, his pad didn't get down quick enough, he didn't have his stick in the right position as far as taking away the five hole, and it beats him right on the ice. And I think that was a tough one for him to kind of get over, and all of a sudden, bang, bang, they score two more, 2 minutes and 17 seconds, as you said, and this game gets away from the Hawks. But boy, they battled hard. They didn't quit. I liked their effort right through the 60 minutes. Did they make a couple mistakes? Yeah. Could they have played a couple things better? Yeah, but that's going to happen. You just didn't get the goaltending where you needed it to in this game. You scored four goals. Lots of good things happened in this game.
This feels like the game kind of turned when we got that Philip Kurashev goaltender interference penalty. You didn't think it was a penalty?
It's not a penalty. Yeah. He's not in the crease. The goaltender was out of the top of the crease. Panger and I both agree. But, yes, it did turn the tide because right after that, I think that that's where they scored their first goal of the game just as Kurashev was stepping out of the box.
Yeah, and it's tough because, you know, the Hawks are – when you're in a situation like the Blackhawks, you go through a coaching change, you're looking for some breaks to go your way. And on some level, the Hawks have to do a better job of making sure that they hunker down in those opportunities and not use it as an excuse. But it's almost like when you're trying to find the breaks to go your way and you don't get it, it's like you have to overcome that as well to beat just to kind of turn the tide back in your favor.
Yeah, I just... You know, again, those things are going to happen, and I don't think there was a mental breakdown by everybody in that time. But when the fifth goal went in, you don't call a timeout, but you make a goaltender change. So basically, it's a timeout, and that just kind of settled things down. I don't know what Anders said behind the bench to the players or not, but it just settled down. Hey, let's do this, and goaltender change. You know, you wanted to play well for Drew Kmes, so he only had to make a couple saves, and they weren't significantly hard saves. But at the same time, I just think that, you know, maybe a little bit frustrating because they did play a good game and there was so many positives in this game. Their penalty killing again was excellent, 3-for-3, even though you can kind of consider their first goal a power play goal, but it wasn't. And I think the Blackhawks have a lot of things to break down on the tape, and I think there's way more positives than negatives in this game. It just didn't kind of pan out, and for the Islanders, the team that's kind of struggled to score goals this year, they ended up with five on the board, and I didn't think they made any special plays, but they put pucks at the net, and they went in.
Arvid Soderblom, I didn't think he could have done much on the first two goals. I don't think he saw either of them, but that third one he for sure would like to have back because it led to the three goals in 2:17.
Yeah, that was a tough one, and he knew it. You could tell by his body language right after it went in that he was frustrated that he didn't make that save. He ended up with his right pad outside of his right post. He just kind of lost his angle. He didn't play that extremely well, and there really wasn't a whole lot of options either. So he could have come out, cut down that angle a little bit more. A good shot, I guess you'd call it, but at the same time, he's got to make that save. And that was a big goal when you're looking at the overall picture of what the score was, what you were trying to do, and then all of a sudden it kind of snowballed into three quick goals where I think the Blackhawks just kind of lost their focus for a quick split second there, and bang, all of a sudden it's a 5-1 game.
You mentioned the faceoffs. Hawks won just 15 of 55 in this game, 27%. you're not going to win many hockey games when the percentage is that low.
I was doing the John Weideman math on that play because I said it was 15 out of the 60, but you're right, it's 15 out of 45 or 55. That is not very good, and 27%. I mean, boy, you got to be a lot better. I mean, that just means that you're chasing the puck. Well, three out of four times that they drop the puck, you're chasing it, and you don't have puck possession. So, you know, to be in this game and to play as well as they did and to not have those results in the faceoff dot, you got to find a way to be better. They've switched things around. They've had wingers taking draws. If you look at some of the top guys for the Blackhawks as far as their best centerman, Ryan Donato lost 11 of his 13 faceoff. Dickinson, who's usually pretty reliable, he lost 13 of his 20 draws and just go down. Nobody fared very well. So, you know, you look at that and you say, we got to be better in that area.
What positives would you take away, both as a team and that any individual stand out to you?
Well, again, Bertuzzi was strong in this game. I thought that, you know, he's really got a different level going on here. He's got 8 goals on the season now, which is closing in on the 10 for Donato. I thought he was good. And Anders changed up their line combinations in the third period, so everybody was kind of playing in different roles. And you had to shorten the bench a little bit and try and get your offensive players out there as much as possible. But I thought, again, that the pace that they played and the way that the defensemen played in this game, there's so many good things to point out. I thought that the effort was there for 60 minutes. They worked hard. They didn't quit. They battled to the end. Frustrating that they weren't able to get that tying goal when, as time wore out. John and I were talking about it during the break, like how much time did you think you needed, you know, to get that equalizer, because they had the Islanders on their heels, they were defending, and the Blackhawks didn't get that third goal that they were looking for in a row there to make it a tie score. But they did so many things right. I thought the pace was great again. They did a nice job of defending in their own end of the ice, only allowing the Islanders 21 shots on goal, 12 scoring or 16 scoring chances, as you said. So they did a nice job of what they needed to do in this game. They just didn't get the results. So when you look at the big picture, are they going to be frustrated? Yeah, are they going to be upset? Certainly. But at the same time, I think that for Anders, he can really build on some of the things that they're doing way better than they were before. And the energy was there for 60 minutes. They didn't quit.
Connor Bedard had 1 goal, 2 assists for 3 points. It's starting to look like he's getting his confidence back.
Boy, he made some really special plays in this game, and hard to describe on radio how great those plays were and how few players in the NHL can make those plays, and Bedard is just one of them. He was outstanding in this game. When he was on the ice, he had puck possession. He had 4 shots on goal, 4 more attempts, 2 blocked, 2 missed shots. He was handling the puck extremely well, made some great plays on his own individually. I thought he was really good in this game. He was special tonight.
Afternoon game on Saturday. How about that?
Yeah, and I hope to do a lot of day drinking with our Bandido.
We've been doing a lot of that lately.
Well, yeah. We've had a lot of afternoon games. It's been crazy, and we got 2 coming up this weekend. And for the Islanders, they get a couple days off here. They don't play until the game Sunday afternoon against the Blackhawks, where the Blackhawks got to finish off this 3-game road trip in the New York area on Saturday afternoon. You don't get in late, but at the same time, back-to-back afternoon games, kind of a little bit of a different schedule.
All right. Good stuff, Troy. Have a great call on Saturday. We'll talk.
Okay, Charlie.
Okay, Troy. All right. That is deep. Toodles.
Toodaloo.
That's the great Troy Murray from UBS Arena helping us break down this 5-4 Blackhawks loss to the New York Islanders. I want to get to our player of the game, which is sponsored by Burger King. Get your $5 Whopper Jr. today. You rule. I'm kind of sick of giving this to an opponent, so I'm just going to highlight Connor Bedard, the kind of piggyback off what Troy was saying. He had 1 goal and 2 assists in this hockey game, but man, in the first period alone, he had 4 shots on goal and 6 shot attempts. And just for context purposes, Bedard had 4 shots on goal total in the previous 4 games combined. And so that was really nice to see Connor Bedard feeling a little bit more like himself. When he was on the ice, the Blackhawks led 19-11 in shot attempts and 8-5 scoring chances at 5-on-5. But, you know, you look at some of the plays, you know, I I tweeted out most of the clips that Bedard, some of his plays from today, and it just felt like he had his confidence back, whether it was the zone entries, his shot on the power play on the goal with 24 seconds left. I mean, it was the fact that he gave that reaction, that you could tell in the celebration, kind of looking at the Islanders crowd. I mean, he doesn't do that when he snapped his 12-game goal drought at the United Center against Dallas. Like, he looked to the heavens and he looked like the weight got lifted off his shoulders. But in this game, he scores the goal in the way. I mean, it was just an unbelievable shot, but just the way he can open up his hips and he's able to slingshot that puck and not just beat the puck. I mean, he went glove side on the goaltender. Typically, it's easier from that angle to kind of toe drag it and beat the goaltender blocker side. But he went glove side and posted in, which was just unbelievable. But it's nice to see him starting to get his swagger back, because the Hawks are going to need that moving forward. There's part of the reason why the offensive struggles as a whole, as a team, have been down, especially at 5-on-5. Like, Connor Bedard not having the confidence and his confidence taking a hit a little bit. To see him now string together three games in a row where he has points in all three, so he's got on a little bit of a point streak here, but also to finish this game with three points, ended up having 8 shot attempts, 4 of them on net. Nice to see Connor Bedard starting to feel like himself. And I also want to shout out the defenseman as well. TJ Brody gets his first as a member of the Chicago Blackhawks. And it's crazy because I remember sharing this stat a few games ago, but in the first 25 games of the season, the Blackhawks had 4 goals by a defenseman. It was Seth Jones had 2, and Seth is out with a right foot injury, so he's not in the lineup. Isaac Phillips had 1. He's down in the minors. And Louis Crevier had the other, and he's been a healthy scratch for the last few games. And so in the last 4 games now, the Blackhawks have 4 goals. Alex Vlasic has 2. Alec Martinez has 1. And now TJ Brody has 1. Yeah, 4 goals in the last 4 games by defensemen. So it's nice to see the defensemen chipping in offensively, because the Blackhawks really need some assistance in that department when the forward group isn't as strong as it should be, or as the... You just need contributions. I thought Wyatt Kaiser was actually pretty noticeable too, specifically in helping join the rush and also in the offensive zone, in the just generating some shot attempts in the O zone. So you like to see the Blackhawks get more of that. They end up scoring 4 goals in this game, and obviously a lot of them came towards the end of the third period, and so they felt like garbage time goals. But it was good to see the Blackhawks break through in that department a little bit more than they had in previous games. And then Tyler Bertuzzi, he scores 2 goals in, I think 2 goals in 61 seconds, I think it was. And mentioned this last game, but before the last game, he had just 5 goals on the season. He was on a 12-game goal drought. So he snapped his 12-game goal drought, has 3 goals in his last 2 games now. 3 of them have come on the power play. I think that's now... Is that 3 at 5-on-5 and 3 at 6-on-5, I think? So you'd like to see Bertuzzi continue to build on this performance as well. Again, I know it kind of came a little bit in garbage time, but who knows what that would do for his confidence and just the overall team's confidence if they can get a little bit more goals as a team. So tough loss for the Blackhawks. It really came down to early in that third period where they give up 2 goals in 57 seconds. We've talked ad nauseum about the quick strikes after goals hadn't really been plaguing the Blackhawks over the last couple games under interim coach Anders Sorensen, but it came up, those old habits came up again today, and then ended up a minute after the 2 goals in 57 seconds, Hawks gave up a third one, so that's 3 goals in 2 minutes and 17 seconds. Arvid Soderblom ends up getting yanked for Drew Commesso, who made his NHL debut, and the Hawks ended up scoring 3 goals to kind of make it a hockey game, but unfortunately it was just too little too late. And at that point, you feel like the Islanders are kind of sitting back knowing that this game was kind of in their control. But man, it really felt like this game turned on the Filip Kurashev goaltender interference penalty that was most definitely not a penalty. Troy Murray, we just had him on. He was adamant that that was not a penalty. I was watching the broadcast too. Darren Pang, who will usually side with the goaltenders because he'll, you know, he was a goaltender and he kind of can share that perspective. I mean, he seemed dumbfounded that that was a penalty as well. So it's tough that even though the Islanders didn't score technically on that power play, it was right after Kurashev had stepped onto the ice to kill after the penalty got killed, and the Islanders made it 1-1, and then of course they get the next one to make it 2-1, and it just feels like, I don't even want to say the ice tilted in the Islanders' favor, but that kind of led sparked the Islanders into scoring 5 goals the rest of the game, because feels like up until that point the Hawks were in total control of the hockey game and they seemed comfortable playing in that lower scoring type game because the Islanders weren't really generating much offensively and the Hawks had tightened things up defensively. So tough loss for the Blackhawks. They will get this New York Islanders team on Sunday again in the second of a back-to-back. The Islanders, this is the next game on the schedule, is Sunday's game against the Blackhawks. The Blackhawks obviously are going to be in New Jersey on Saturday afternoon and then take on the Islanders. So Islanders are going to go into the United Center a little bit well-rested and with this game fresh in their mind, while the Blackhawks are going to be playing in the second of a back-to-back after a lengthy road trip in New York where they were there for a full week. And so you want to, if you're the Blackhawks, I'm sure they want to get that taste out of their mouth right away. But we're going to preview the Devils game later on in the show, and that's got to make sure they don't overlook that one. All right, we got some Blackhawks sound rolling in from New York. The Blackhawks post-game show is going to roll on right after this commercial break on 720 WGN.
Face off to the right of Comesso, and there's the horn. Final score, the Islanders 5 and the Hawks 4. A valiant comeback by the Hawks. Fell one goal short and probably a couple of minutes short as well. But they lose to the Islanders here tonight by the score I mentioned. And with the loss, the Blackhawks record now falls to 9-18-2, while with the win, the Islanders are back to an even 500 at 12-12-7.
Back here on the Blackhawks post-game show, that was those are the final seconds of the Blackhawks 5-4 loss to the New York Islanders at UBS Arena. This was the 11th time in the last 12 games the Blackhawks have scored the first goal, and unfortunately they don't have a win to show for it. I think the Hawks have 3 wins in those 11 games of scoring the first goal. And so, man, they've surprisingly been in a lot of games where we've mentioned the third period stat about how in each of the third periods except one this season, the Hawks have been leading, tied, or trailing by at least one. But it's crazy how many times the Blackhawks have actually scored the first goal in hockey games this season. And it's unfortunate they just don't have much to show for it. So we'll see if the Blackhawks can reverse that trend and continue to try to get on the board first, but hold down the lead in those games. Tyler Bertuzzi, we mentioned him earlier right before, he's scored his 7th and 8th goals of the season. He's now got 3 goals in the last 2 games after a 12-game goal drought. He spoke to the media after this loss. Let's hear what he had to say.
What do you take away from a game in a third period like that?
Yeah, I mean, we were in the game up until, I think, the second 10-minute mark of the second period, and kind of started getting away from things, and you know, I carried on into the third, and you can't let that happen.
Do you feel like that penalty that led to their first goal kind of turned the momentum a bit?
What penalty?
Well, it was called in Kurashev, but just them getting a power play there.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I mean, our PK has been really good all year. I don't think that, you know, that wasn't it. It was just the way we were, you know, playing with the puck and, some turnovers and just kind of got away from our game.
Change it to the system. It's kind of a work in progress. Just hard to do it all on instinct yet.
Yeah, I mean, we like it. We're playing faster. We're getting on pucks. Our forechecks better. We're creating turnovers. It was just more or less the neutral zone and just, you know, not getting it over the blue or making a simple play, cost us.
Seems to suit your style in particular. You can, you know, all around the net the last couple of games?
Yeah, like I said, it just helps us, you know, get on the forecheck, try to create turnovers, you know, our D are down, keeping pucks alive, and, you know, it showed, obviously, in New York and, you know, for half of the game tonight, and, you know, but we can't let it get away from us like it did.
That was Blackhawks forward Tyler Bertuzzi. You've had 2 goals in this game, but he also finished with 4 shots on goal and 6 shot attempts. Just trying to do quick math on the fly, I was looking at the recent games for Bertuzzi before the New York Rangers game, and he had 1 shot on goal against Winnipeg, 2 shots on goal against Boston, 0 versus Toronto, 1 against Columbus, and then 0-0-0 in the previous 3 games. I mean, he had 4 shots on goal in his previous 7 games, and now he's had 5 against the Rangers, 4 against the Islanders. He also had 10 shot attempts against the Rangers and 6 shot attempts today. So that's a total of 9 shots on goal and 16 shot attempts over the last 2 games for Tyler Bertuzzi. Nice to see him slowly start to trend in the right direction and be the player, the kind of player the Blackhawks thought they were getting when they signed him to that 4-year contract. Again, Hawks are going to need him desperately to break out of to break out offensively if they want to snap their 5-on-5 scoring woes as a whole. Let's get to a little bit of a positive. Drew Chamesso, second-round pick for the Blackhawks a few years ago, made his NHL debut, albeit in a relief-type appearance. He only faced 2 shots in this game, and he stopped both of them, so that for him, that must have been a nice feeling that none of them went in, and I don't think he probably thought this game was going to be as close as it was at the end of the game, but it was nice to see him get a little bit of relief action. He spoke to the media after his NHL debut. Let's listen in.
We were talking yesterday, it's not exactly how you envisioned your NHL debut, but how do you feel having been in there now?
Yeah, I mean, it was nice, obviously. First off, kind of wish for a different outcome for the team. I think that's the first thing that comes to mind, but yeah, I'm really grateful for the opportunity, and yeah, I was just really blessed to be put in this position to have an opportunity to fill one of my lifelong dreams to play in NHL.
Is it almost better this way because you didn't have time to sit there all day thinking about it? You just all of a sudden you're in?
Honestly, I don't know. I go into each game with the same mindset of staying ready all the time. You know, whether it's in the second, third, or to start the game, I kind of have the same mindset, and I guess physically it's a little bit more of a challenge, but mentally, I'm ready all the time.
When Andrews looked down the bench and signaled to you, what was going through your head?
Just excitement and joy, to be honest with you. Just really grateful for the opportunity. And yeah, just obviously wish for a different outcome for the team.
You didn't have to do too much out there.
Yeah, I mean, just got to stop every puck that comes my way. That's all I can control, so.
That was Blackhawks rookie goaltender Drew Chamesso, who was obviously called up a few days ago after Peter Mrazek left the game over the weekend with a left groin injury. Arvid Soderblom is obviously going to get most of the run here in the foreseeable future. And with Chamesso serving as the backup, you have to wonder if he's going to get one of the games over the weekend against the Devils or Islanders. I would be surprised if it was against the Devils. I mean, the New Jersey looks like a legitimate juggernaut of an offense, especially under Sheldon Keefe. And so I would expect it more to potentially be against the Islanders. But at the same time, you look at it and it's the second of a back-to-back. So I'm not sure you want to put I'm sure it's going to be a tug of war of guys are going to be not as well rested on the second game of a back-to-back, especially after a longer road trip where they were in New York all week. But I just think matchup-wise, I think Chamesso starting on Sunday at the United Center would benefit him more. It would be in a better position for him to succeed versus New Jersey on the road. Could be in hostile environment the way they play that in a Saturday afternoon game. So it's probably going to be a packed building. And so we'll see what Anders Sorensen and Jimmy Waite. I know Jimmy Waite always contributes to the feeling of kind of the goaltending rotation, and he likes to map it out a couple weeks in advance, and so we'll see what kind of plan they come up with. But yeah, nice to. I'm sure it's a little relieving too that Chamesso was able to get some relief action. It was I think it was 12:02 left. He came into the game. And it was funny watching watching his reaction. Hawks had lined up on the faceoff, and that's when the whistle blew where Sorensen decided he was going to make a goaltending change. So it wasn't until very late
after the goal, after the fifth goal, that the Blackhawks decided to change things up. And I think it was the wise move too, because it was kind of like the lowest pressure situation for Comesso. 5-1, team is down 5-1, so there's really not much pressure to you know, perform. It's just kind of just go in there and just kind of steady the water and get this game finished. And so, yeah, he's probably a little surprised that it came down to the final seconds of the game because the Hawks fought back. But he didn't have to face too many shots, just 2 for 2 in his NHL debut. All right, we got more to get to on the Blackhawks postgame show, including our save of the game. And we'll hear from interim head coach Anders Sorensen coming up right here on 720 WGN.
The Holmstrom, top of the right circle, dropped it back. Connor Bedard will get to the puck at the Islander blue line. He's over the line, down the left wing, fed it to the slot. Kershaw with a shot and a save made by Sorokin.
That was tonight's save of the game, which is sponsored by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at comed.com/poweringbiz. One of 27 saves on the night for Ilya Sorokin, finished with 27 of 31, gave up 4 goals on 31 shots, save percentage of .871, so not great, but he did stop 15 of 16 in the first two periods. It was the third period where he faced 15 shots and ended up giving up 3 goals in that period. Man, the Islanders have had to lean on Ilya Sorokin. That was his 7th consecutive start because Semyon Varlamov is out with a lower body injury. And so I'm not sure if, I imagine Sorokin's probably going to get the game on Sunday as well, unless the Islanders go in a different direction and want to give him a little bit of a breather and break up the schedule. On the flip side, Arvid Soderblom got pulled in the third period. We had mentioned Drew Comesso, but Soderblom, 14 saves on 19 shots for a .737 save percentage. I mean, clearly this was obviously not his best performance of the season. He has been so good for the Blackhawks in his first 9 appearances. He had a .921 save percentage going into this game and had only 2 wins to show for it. So it's unfortunate that he had the performance that he did today. The first 2 goals, honestly, he couldn't really have done much. That he was screened on both of them. It was the third goal that he would most definitely want to have back. It looked like he was expecting it to go glove side. And then it went 5-hole, and you could just tell by his reaction that he really wanted that one back. And should note, Soderblom, that was his 60th game of the season, so now he's no longer waiver exempt. So if the Hawks, whenever Mrazek and whenever Brossoit is ready to return, and if the Hawks have a situation where Mrazek and Brossoit are both healthy at the same time, and they wanted to send Soderblom down to the minors, he now has to go through waivers. And so for sure the Blackhawks are not going to go that route, because he would get claimed pretty easily, or pretty feels like that would be a slam dunk that he would get claimed. So I don't think it's much of a concern for the Blackhawks right now, because Brossoit, it doesn't look like, is going to return until at least like end of January, maybe even February. And so by that point the situation might change, and then you're looking at the last 2 months of the season. That seems much more manageable to figure out a 3 goalie rotation versus doing so in the month of November, December, where you got to figure out 4 or 5 months of it. So we'll have to monitor that situation. But Soderblom, I'm sure he'd like to have some of the goals back in this game, but man, hard to fault him for this because of the season that he's had. He's been up to the task. So I expect him to bounce back on Saturday afternoon against New Jersey, assuming that he starts in that game. All right, let's hear the post-game thoughts of Chicago's interim head coach Anders Sorensen after this loss.
What do you take away from a third period like that?
Tough stretch there, right? A couple of quick ones in. Even in the second period there, we didn't like how we handled that last 10 minutes there.
I feel like that penalty and Kurashev and then the ensuing power play kind of flipped momentum, and you guys have been playing really well up to that point.
Yeah, that's a good point, because we were, the first half, I thought we were good there, and then they kind of tilted the ice a bit once they got their first one, right?
You've talked about being willing to give up point shots and longer distance shots, and I guess just sometimes they're going to go in anyway. You can't prevent everything.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want to, we're fine if it's, we want to have a little bit more pressure up there for sure, though, right? We don't want to let them walk in like that.
to get all kinds of time.
You get the sense the guys are, it's not in sync yet what you want them to do. They're kind of almost thinking their way through it sometimes, and that makes it a little harder to be cohesive.
Yeah, time. I mean, I thought we did some good things, but then again, those laps, the mental lapses we had there in the second and in the third, right? That's something we got to clean up.
Can you take something from the response after the three goals?
Yeah, once Drew came in, I thought we, you know, guys started playing with some pace and showed what we, you know, some good flashes of things, but it's not good enough. It's got to be more consistent with that.
Were you hesitant to put him in, make that his NHL debut?
I think we want to get Sodi out of there and also change the momentum a little bit. And, you know.
When you see Bedard, you know, rip off a shot like that, does it make you wonder, like, well, why didn't you just do that all the time?
Yeah, that was a high-level, high-skill play. Yeah.
What do you see from Korchinski tonight?
Yeah, some good moments, you know, some things that, you know, obviously I thought with the pocket did some really good things. His gaps were okay, you know, but overall okay.
Bertuzzi seems a lot more engaged these last few games. What's working with him right now?
Yeah, he's moving his feet a lot. I think he's in the certain areas where he score goals, right? He seems to be winning some puck battles and coming up with second and third efforts. So keeping pucks alive is huge.
How long do you think it'll take you to get a real grasp of the title? How long do you think it'll take for you to get a good grasp of this club and what they do and what they can't do?
No, I think we do. I think we're all aware of what we need to do here. It's just a matter of working through it. And, you know, last game was a step forward and then a little step back here. So let's get back at it.
How was that first period? It seemed like the first period. It seemed like a typical road period. It seems like guys had better control. You scored the first goal.
Yeah, we liked our first period and even first part of our second period, right?
That was Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen talking about the mental lapses in the third period that kind of led to the unraveling of the Blackhawks. I mean, you look at the final numbers at even strength. Hawks had 29 scoring chances for, only 13 against. And so, man, it's really difficult to be disappointed about the overall effort of this team. But then you look at the score and you're like, boy, five goals against, you know, what happened? And it's just that little stretch in the third period where they gave up three goals in the span of 2 minutes and 17 seconds, where you kind of eliminate that and the unraveling of those situations. And it had been kind of a theme for the Blackhawks in the previous few weeks of those quick strikes after goals and making sure that they're bearing down and not having those mental lapses. But it just seemed to stack just in those few couple minutes, and it kind of led to the spiral. And you know, by the way, credit to Ben Pope of the Chicago Sun-Times for providing that audio, but also for asking that question to Sorensen as well about the Kurashev penalty. That was, man, it just was not a goaltending interference penalty. And unfortunately, that kind of sparked the Islanders when they scored to make it 1-1, and then the Islanders eventually made it 2-1. And so you had to be thrilled by how the Blackhawks were playing up to that point. And sure, they need to do a better job of making sure that some of those calls that do go against them, that it doesn't kind of snowball into negatively. Like they do have to be a little bit better when it comes to, you know, just managing when adversity doesn't go their way and powering through it. But it just feels difficult when you're in the Blackhawks position where you come off a week where, you know, that there's a head coaching change, morale is a little down right before. They're on a four or five game losing streak. And so you're trying to desperately look at some momentum or something to grasp onto. And it's just unfortunate that they weren't able to string together a second straight win, because performance wise and just looking at the numbers, like, this wasn't like the Hawks fell behind 3-0 early in the first period and then the scoring chances tilted significantly in their favor because they were just throwing the kitchen sink at the Islanders because they were just trailing and the Islanders were sitting back. This was a game where the Hawks were controlling the entire game, and it was just that mental lapses in the third period, giving up three goals in a span of 2:17 is what did the Blackhawks in. So we'll see how they bounce back on a Saturday against New Jersey. Crazy night in the NHL. A lot of high scoring games. That there are a lot of, we're on hat trick watch for a couple of them, and we're gonna play a familiar voice call on the other side of the break, and then we're gonna wrap up the Blackhawks post game show after this on 720 WGN.
Here's Crosby near circle, rips a shot, caught a piece, the deflection off the post. Brian Rust shoots and scores with a hat trick. a wide open net for Rusty. And on the near circle, he lets it fly. Brian Rust, his sixth career hat trick. As some apparel does hit the ice here in Montreal.
That was the great Joe Brand with Pittsburgh Penguins radio calling Brian Rust's sixth career hat trick for the Pittsburgh Penguins, who won 9-2 in Montreal tonight at the Bell Center. Ricard Raquel also had 4 points. He had 2 goals. He was on Hattie watch as well. Sidney Crosby had 3 assists. So great call by Joe. Anytime we get an opportunity to play Joe's calls this season, we will be doing so. And Scott Laughton, there was another hat trick in Philadelphia tonight. Scott Laughton scored 4 goals for the Flyers in their 4-1 win over the Detroit Red Wings. There were a couple others earlier tonight that were on Hattie watch as well. I think Draisaitl had 2 goals. A few others. Ryan O'Reilly, I think, might have had 2 goals for Nashville. So busy night in the NHL tonight, but a big win for the Pittsburgh Penguins. And boy, oh boy, Montreal Canadiens, they do not look great. And they're kind of at that point in the rebuild where they want to take that next step. And so if you're Chicago, kind of look at that scenario where all the young guys or most of the young guys are in the NHL right now and they're trying to take that next step. And that's a kind of a situation that if you're Chicago looking at the rebuild, kind of like monitor that situation as far as how they get out of that, what pieces they want to add to kind of take the team to the next level. And so we'll see how that situation plays itself out. Back here, let's get to our tonight's next game preview, which is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. So the last time the Hawks were in New Jersey, Connor Bedard suffered a fractured jaw. It was on January 5th, early in the first period. Brendan Smith had that hit on Bedard as he flew through the offensive zone. Brendan Smith is now on Dallas, so he's not on New Jersey anymore. The Hawks have already faced Dallas a couple times this season, so I don't expect there to be any sort of backlash from that game. And I want to say there were a couple fights that happened in that game right afterwards, so that kind of was settled. The interesting thing about this game, so Jeremy Colliton, former Blackhawks coach, is an assistant on Sheldon Keefe's staff with New Jersey, and Colliton had Derek King and Anders Sorensen on his staff in Rockford during the 2018-19 season. And of course, when Jeremy got fired from the Blackhawks, Derek King stepped into his role. Then the Hawks ended up hiring Luke Richardson permanently. They kept Derek King on their staff. And now it's funny to see Anders Sorensen as the interim head coach for the Blackhawks while Derek King is an assistant on his staff. And so I wonder if they're going to meet up before the game and kind of laugh about the situation on how the different paths and how each of them have been on a staff on each other's. So it's kind of funny the way that's worked out. New Jersey as a team, Hawks better be ready to play. They played the Toronto Maple Leafs the other night. They lost in overtime, but boy, that first period, I think the shot attempts were like 36-8. Like New Jersey was an unbelievable, they're an unbelievable skating team. The one player to look out for, Dougie Hamilton, he's got, he had a torn pec last season. He was shut down after November. He's got 21 points this season in 31 games. He has really elevated that group. So beware of Dougie Hamilton if you're Chicago on Saturday. Blackhawks Hockey is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circa Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. Big thanks to all the help we had on the broadcast tonight, our production crew of Jack Heinrich and Alan Poppy. They were led by our engineer, the Colonel Brett Jackson. For John Weideman and Troy Murray, who brought you the call from New Jersey, I'm Charlie Romeliotis, signing off after a 5-4 Blackhawks loss to the Islanders. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Saturday afternoon.